You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, March 11th, 2025. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Or maybe you're listening on the app or watching us on Facebook or YouTube or catching us when it's not 6 o'clock in the morning on demand by podcast. However you do it, we appreciate you tuning in today. I've got a question for you. What does it say when a congressman like Derek Van Orden is only 7 weeks into his second term and has already drawn not one but two likely Democratic challengers for 2026? You can probably expect that to play out in congressional districts across the land as people really take measure of what the Trump administration has been doing during its short time in office, and the members of Congress who have been silent, not only not appearing at town halls, but essentially ignoring, you know, the pleas of their constituents that these are not the kinds of things that they voted for when they were supporting Donald Trump for president. Regardless, we can tell you that Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge has confirmed to Up North News that she is considering a run for Congress against Derek Van Orden. And Rebecca Cook has told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that she is going to be announcing a candidacy as early as today. So we'll talk more about that throughout the course of the morning, and I sense well into the coming cycle here of Democrats looking at key swing districts like the 3rd District in western and central Wisconsin and saying that by the time the midterms come around, folks are probably going to be ready for a change. Also coming up on the program today, we're going to be talking to Christina Lurie in this hour. The Green Bay Packers are busy all year round, even as we're thinking more like March Madness and spring training baseball. The Packers have a message for a certain segment of their fan base, their season ticket holders, a sliver of them, who aren't fans so much as ticket brokers. And the message is, use it or lose it. And Christina will talk more about that. In our second hour, we will talk to Hans Breitenmoser. He's pretty active in the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and it was recently Farmers Lobbying Day, where lawmakers hear from not your lobbyists who wear suits and walk around the Capitol all day, but what I call lowercase L lobbyists, you know, regular folks who come in to talk to their lawmakers and say, look, these are our priorities for our particular group, that group being farmers. And I'm guessing that group is saying something along the lines of, could you please stop the president from trying to put all of us out of business with another trade war and with massive cuts to the farm safety net? There's also been a newly announced massive cut by Trump's U.S. Department of Agriculture, cutting a $1 billion program that helped make sure that school lunches were supplied with locally grown food. So basically a big middle finger to local farmers from the Trump administration in terms of another market that the Trump administration is closing to farmers. By the way, apropos of nothing, but it was on this day in 2021, 4 years ago, that President Joe Biden was 8 weeks into his term and on this day signed the American Rescue Plan into law, which helped set the stage for the greatest recovery in the developed world out of the COVID pandemic. Meanwhile, the stock market had its worst day of the year yesterday. So take that for what it's worth. It is Women's History Month, and that is the subject of our newsletter, our regular newsletter that you can sign up for over at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Lurie has another story in there about a Wisconsin trailblazing woman in her field. She also has a story that she did not have the note about the USDA under Trump cutting a key school food supply program. But she does have a note in here saying that one in every nine Wisconsin kids is food insecure, meaning they don't often have enough food to make it through the day, which is why the Department of Public Instruction is looking for sponsors for its 2025 summer food service program to feed kids in need. And that was before learning that some federal funds may be cut. There's also a story there about how Great Lakes shipwrecks are disappearing. Normally, they're well-preserved in the cold water, but, of course, leave it to invasive species to be playing a role in that. So that and more in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. At the bus stop this morning, temperatures look like this. It is 35 here on Lake Wissota, 28 in Amory. 28 in Hayward, 30 in Amory. Wausau is at 36. It's 43 in Rapids, 44 in La Crosse, 43 in Green Bay. Madison's at 38. It's 49 in Milwaukee, and it's 48 at Radio Park in Racine, where we find one Greg Bach standing by to wish us a good morning in the voice of his choosing. Sometimes it's his own. Other times, a little less so. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning.
That's
very, 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 very. I don't want to wake anyone bat. It's so early.
It really, really is. But, I mean, almost hitting the 60s yesterday, the temperatures.
It was like up, it was like mid-60s here. It was so nice.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
And then the phone around 8 o'clock last night, like 22 degrees colder tomorrow.
Yes, we are so on that roller coaster that Brittany Merlot talked about, and we'll talk to her in an hour about it. But yes, we are going. We were up, now we're down. We're going up again for a couple of days, then we're going down again, and what are you going to do?
Nothing.
You know, this is where, you know, I've got. The way my closet is set up is all the long sleeve shirts are over here and all the short sleeve shirts are over there. And, you know, in the middle of summer, in the middle of winter, you're only paying attention to those shirts. Yeah. And this time of year, it's like, all right, I'm going to wear this one. Oh, wait, nope, that's too warm. I'm going to go put on this short sleeve one instead.
No? It's mid September through October-ish.
Yeah.
Mid October, two and a half months. And then in the spring, quote, winter, springtime, it's like end of February through early April, where it's just, who knows? And even sometimes yes. May we get some snow, but like it's always that like uncertainty of like 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's that theater of seasons, which can drive us a little crazy sometimes, though I will say, and again, I don't say this out of any sense of pity from living in the Caribbean for 3 years, as we did about a decade ago. We were so happy back then to be escaping Wisconsin winters for that short period. You actually do start to miss seasons. There's something to be said about being hot and sweaty every single day. So that when we'd come up for a visit and temps would be in the 50s or 60s, and we would just be like, this is the greatest weather ever. It should be 60s every day. Which, of course, you don't want. You want that range. But when you don't get it, you miss it. You miss those seasons.
I would happily take 65 to 72 every day. I don't need it to be in the 40s. I don't need it to be 80s. I just want comfortable. That's what I want.
Yes. We're all that's what we're all looking for. We're all looking for a little bit of comfort. which yesterday, that was comfortable.
Oh, yes, it was.
I really like that. Hey, tomorrow we've got our first ever live event through Up North News. It's a forum all about the state Supreme Court race, which also means that Thursday morning after the event on Wednesday night, I'll be doing the show from Civic Media World headquarters in Madison.
Oh, aren't you just fancy?
That doesn't have me nervous at all.
Why? You're going to do great.
Anytime we have to move. I mean, I'm a creature of habit. I'm right here. I'm in my home office. The microphone is here. But No, we'll give that a go. So that we're going on the road for a couple of days here, which should be really nice. Folks can head out to the Overture Center Wednesday from 5 to 7, where we will have three different panel discussions with experts and lawmakers in areas about reproductive health, about education, about the economy. And in all three of those areas, there are many subtopics below it, but in all three of those areas, the outcome of this state Supreme Court race is going to be so instrumental. I mean, in reproductive rights alone, you're talking about the difference between protecting a woman's right to control her own body and potentially a full-on abortion care ban in the state of Wisconsin. That's just one thing, much less public education, much less the economy, jobs, our natural resources, you name it. And so if you'd like to hear from some of these folks on our panels, Todd Alba, Dan Schaefer, and I will be moderating. Learn more at upnorthnewswi.com/supreme. And then if you can't make it, I can finally tell you, confirm for you, that you can hear it tomorrow evening right here across the Civic Media Radio Network on all of our news talk stations. It'll be starting just after 5 p.m. Join us and listen in as we talk to folks about the stakes of the race and remind you of the importance of voting on April 1st. Hey, I mentioned our newsletter, our regular daily newsletter, but when you sign up for that, you can also get our weekend politics newsletter. And I bring that up now simply because I'd like your input, even if you don't get the newsletter, I'd like your input on our question of the week that we put in there, because we actually took a little break from politics and wanted to ask you about book clubs. Remember, we had author Laura Bird on a week ago talking about book clubs, how to find a good one or how to start a good one. And we asked, what has your experience been? What do you recommend about book clubs? What worked? What didn't work? Are there online resources? And folks have been writing in quite nicely about that. And you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And tell us more about your thoughts on book clubs. So we would love to hear more about that. And, of course, sign up for our newsletter over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, as well. Not a lot to tell you for sports here. The Bucks play tonight at Indiana and try to snap a two-game losing streak. And, of course, it's conference tournament week, but the Badger men's basketball team, they will have a bye in the first round, so they don't play until Thursday afternoon. Same goes for Marquette in the Big East tournament. They will first play on Thursday afternoon against Xavier. And the Badger women's hockey team kicks off the NCAA National College Women's College Hockey Tournament on Saturday afternoon. So just a little bit of sports to share with you. Coming up after this break, we'll talk about the two Democrats that have now stepped forward to say that they would like to be the challenger to Derek Van Orden in the 3rd Congressional District next year. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Wrightlow. Be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Isn't it wonderful, wonderful, as we play the theme to the Lawrence Welk Show, as the happy little music maker is part of today's history lesson, coming up in 30 minutes here on Upfront News Radio. Are you of the age where you were held hostage by parents or grandparents who watched Lawrence Welk on Sunday evenings?
I was talking to Don Rosen about this. My parents were not fans of Lawrence Welk, so I didn't have to watch it. And I don't ever remember my grandparents watching it. I don't think, no, he was, I mean, he was on in the background. You'd flip on the channel and be like, oh, PBS, there's a guy with the weird bubbles and the smile. And then you turn it off. Like, he was
and
not.
Bobby and Sissy would be dancing and singing for us.
He was not an integral part of the Bach household.
Okay. Yeah, my grandparents who actually watched Lawrence Welk perform live when he was a young musician doing barn dances in South Dakota before he made the big time. So they kind of had to them he was like the hometown musician done good. Getting a network show and everything. So yeah, it was on every Sunday.
Those blasted bubbles.
So now when I see Saturday Night Live do that little spoof, usually with Kristen Wiig with the little tiny doll hands, I still kind of laugh. I think that's a great send up.
Yeah, I love it.
So we'll tell you more about that coming up in the history lesson in just a moment. Just posted to the website is my story about how there are not one, but two Democrats who are looking to run against Derek Van Orden next year. Yeah, next year. Let's keep in mind that Derek Van Orden was recently elected to a second term. He is in week 8 of that second term, and already two different Democrats are saying this guy's got to go, and will be working to build support, because in both cases, while Van Orden did win, it was by fairly narrow margins. And so once again, Democrats will see if they can unseat him. Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge confirmed to Up North News that she's considering a run. People close to Berge that I've talked to say her potential candidacy is rooted amid frustration by Chippewa Valley constituents who say Van Orden is all but ignoring Eau Claire. It may be a Democratic base. It's also the largest city in the 3rd Congressional District. And you will recall how last week a group of Eau Claire constituents thought they were going to be meeting with a Van Orden staffer when that staffer saw that 4 times as many people signed up as the room could hold. Rather than look for a different way to hear their concerns, he just didn't show up. So they found him in the meantime. One person close to Berge, who's been talking frequently about a potential run, said Van Orden is unfit, unqualified, and too inexperienced to serve effectively as a member of Congress. Berge had been planning to wait until after the April 1st elections for state Supreme Court justice and state superintendent of public instruction before making any final decision or any announcement. Emily Berge is a licensed mental health counselor. She was first elected to the Eau Claire City Council in 2018. She was elected by voters to the council president role in 2023. That's also the year she was elected president of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. And she's in Washington, D.C. this week as part of her duties for that. Then this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, we get word from Rebecca Cook that she is also going to be announcing a run for the 3rd District Congressional seat. This would be her 3rd attempt at the office. She cited massive cuts by the Trump administration, supported by Van Orden, as well as a new trade war that will hurt farmers and consumers. Reproductive health care rights will also be a centerpiece of the Cook campaign. As Van Orden's challenger last year, Cook finished with stronger margins than Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin. So she ran ahead of the rest of the ticket, but still lost to Van Orden by just under 12,000 votes, the same margin that Brad Paff fell short by in 2022. Cook first ran in 2022, but was second to Brad Paff in that primary. You'll recall that last year she defeated former state representative Katrina Shanklin in the Democratic primary. The Journal Sentinel quotes a source close to Paff as saying he has been encouraged to make another run. Katrina Shanklin told the Journal Sentinel she is not going to run in 2026. What does Derek Van Orden think of all this? I guess we'll just have to keep following Twitter because that's where he tends to do most of his public engagement, normally through insults or confrontations. I looked yesterday, and at last count, he had posted 17 different times to Twitter, now known as X. That was just yesterday. So there's no doubt that he actually relishes this, the idea of confrontation and having an opponent or opponents to lash out at and to insult. It's basically how he has run. He has paid a lot of lip service to farmers. He does a lot of photo ops at farms where local news crews will dutifully show up and report that Derek Van Orden came to visit a farm and said farmers are great. You don't hear quite so much about the other activity going on that I told you about earlier. The massive cuts to farm programs, even the most recent one affecting local food going to school lunches, canceling contracts with farmers for conservation programs, which will cut into their family income. You hear very little about any of those things from local media about Derek Van Orden, but we'll continue to talk about it and tell you more about both Emily Berge, Rebecca Cook, and any other Democrats who emerge to try to retake the 3rd Congressional District next year. Governor Tony Evers yesterday announced his capital budget project, his projected budget for capital budget projects. The capital projects, those are the big dollar ones. Those are like, you know, building or remodeling, you know, brand new state office buildings or other state facilities. These are the big items on university campuses and for state agencies around the state. And his projected budget is about $4.1 billion overall, which sounds big, but he also noted the continued obstruction and delays from the Republican-led legislature. Just the deferred maintenance backlog has skyrocketed past $13 billion, with $3.4 billion in critical, high-priority needs that demand immediate attention to prevent system failures, safety hazards, and costly emergency breakdowns. Again, that's the deferred maintenance budget alone. So when Republicans tell you that Tony Evers is asking for too much in his capital projects budget, just remember the size of that budget is a symbol of somebody who actually wants to do the work, to get the work done before it costs an arm and a leg or gets somebody hurt. Christina Lori's up next. You're up north. Hey, welcome back. It is time for The Uplift when we talk to Christina Lori, who puts together our daily newsletter and many of our uplifting posts about Wisconsin that you can find. Just look up Up North News, WI, on your favorite social media feeds. Christina, how's it going? How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Very good. Nice to talk to you. I was just commenting the hoodie that you are wearing today says America Needs Journalists. It's it was about 2016 that we first started seeing that.
Yeah, it popped up at the Iowa caucus. It was mm-hmm. kind of a time where it felt like a lot of journalists were under attack. And unfortunately, it's only gotten worse.
It really has. I mean, you know, at the time, journalists weren't thought of as, you know, enemies of the state, as some people, or at least one certain person has described it.
Just imagine this. I just graduated from college. I was still 20 years old. My very first political event that I ever covered was Donald Trump's rally. I believe it was in Cedar Rapids.
You don't get to say the good old days about boring news events. You just started baptism by fire.
Yes. And then the second one was one where he ejected a woman who was wearing a hijab because that was un-American.
Oh, geez.
So sadly, not much has changed in the past decade.
Right. I mean, we're not in a traditional place anymore. You know, last week with Trump's address to a joint session of Congress, it was so not traditional. You know, we were comparing it to, say, Tony Evers' State of the State addresses. And you've covered things like that as well, right?
Yes. And the one thing I did want to say about that is I was a little frustrated with the representative from Texas that stood up and shouted that way.
Yes.
Because until then, the protests were by Democrats, I think, were very impactful. I loved the signs that they held up. So I thought it was great that the Democrats from districts that opposed Trump protested in a peaceful way. I would love to see everyone carry that on. But to anyone, you also have to put in perspective, you know, standing up and shouting at the president versus climbing the Capitol walls on January 6th to protest.
There you go.
Election.
Yep. There's the perspective.
Good to put things in context.
Yes, what Congressman Al Green from Texas did, yeah, definitely pales in comparison. And you know, he took his stand as he thought he had to, even if a lot of folks didn't think it was especially helpful. Hey, switching gears. You know what else is not helpful?
This isn't what you bring me in here for. Let's get to the good stuff.
Let's get to the good stuff. And I just, as I'm looking here at what we're going to talk about, it is really not helpful when Green Bay Packer fans, season ticket holders, don't go to the games, and instead of somebody else in a Packers jersey sitting in that seat, you might see some Viking purple or something like that. And it sounds like the team has kind of had enough of that.
So I actually didn't think of it that way. That's a good point that they might not be selling it to Packers fans.
Right.
So let's rewind a little. Just a week and a half ago, the Packers announced that finally they're going to start cracking down on season ticket holders who sell 100% of their tickets and have done so for multiple seasons. So if you only did it last year for some reason, a health reason, perhaps, you know, you're still good. But if you've done this multiple years in a row, your season tickets have already been voided. Probably you've got that notification and they're going to go to someone else on that notoriously long 40 plus year wait list for Packers season tickets.
It makes sense. Because you're a broker at that point. You're not a fan. You're a broker.
It does. However, the one to play devil's advocate here, the one other side I did see of it, and I didn't think of what you had mentioned that they might not be selling it to green and gold fans. However, they are giving more opportunities to more fans. You know, that's 6 or 7, 8 more games that, you know, different people can go to instead of that same fan. However, on the other side of that, obviously, people, diehards have been on that list. Some of them, their parents put it on the year they're born, and then they finally get season tickets by the time they're in their 40s and 50s and can afford them themselves. So it's nice to see those people get off the list. And I've already been getting quite a few messages of screenshots from people getting that email saying you're finally in, or people moving way up. I'm talking like tens of thousands of places up on the wait list. So that's really exciting for all of them.
That really is. And look, I'm not a lawyer. I'm sure that there are people out there saying, hey, wait, you can't do that. They were season ticket holders. That's a contract. You got the money for the tickets. They can do with the tickets whatever they want. But I think that carries into, we can do whatever we want. They're our tickets. It's our team. It's our stadium. And here's the rule. You can't sell 100% of your tickets. So I'm sure there are some legals that would like to debate me on that one.
Yeah, and that's Adam. We started this with politics. We're not going to wait until legalities as well.
Come on. Let's just make this as complex as it gets. No, let's switch to something that's a little more uplifting here. And that would be Greg Gard and the coach's own underdog story. We at this time of year focus so much on, you know, the March madness of it all and the X's and O's. And it's nice to, again, get kind of that personal side of, you know, the people who are behind all those X's and O's on the hardwood.
I just can't imagine how cool it would be. I hope Greg Gard does this every single day. I hope he thinks about how he grew up a Wisconsin Badgers fan in the tiny town of Cobb, Wisconsin, population 480. And now he is not only leading that team, but has done so for the past decade as head coach and has done a phenomenal job. He repeatedly defies the odds. This time last year, there were already a lot of calls, this time next month last year, people were calling for Greg Gard to be fired after they once again didn't make it as far as people expected in March Madness. But let's rewind to the beginning of pretty much every season, where Wisconsin is continuously discounted. This year they were predicted to finish 12th in the Big Ten. Now they could finish second in the conference. And just his story, it's just so cool. He happened to meet Bo Ryan at an 8th grade basketball camp. The two hit it off. He impressed Bo back then as a student. So by the time he got to college, he was volunteering at Bo Ryan's summer camps. Ryan eventually hired him once he graduated, and the two began a 23-year coaching partnership, which took them to 3 different schools. Obviously, the last was here in Madison. And just the coolest part of all of this, I know I feel like I'm saying everything is cool, but it is. The best part is that other D1 schools have come calling over the past decade. Greg Gard could have left Wisconsin for a more prestigious job. I know we all think the Badgers are the top of the top, but you know, a lot of coaches don't feel that way. Greg Gard does. He wants to be here. He's been committed to this the school, and it's just so cool.
Well, but that's that is literally in his DNA, I guess you could, okay, figuratively, but it is in his DNA is to have longevity and loyalty to a job.
It is. And his brother has that as well. His brother is the coach at Platteville, where Greg himself once was assistant coach under Bo Ryan. And Platteville has had a record-breaking season as well. They're the first team in the WIAC to ever win back-to-back conference and regular season titles in a year. So
that's great.
The guards are just people to know.
Well, yeah. And then we've got mom and dad were a high school secretary and an agricultural loan officer who remained at their respective jobs for nearly 40 years each. I'm not saying that the coach is going to be on the job here for 40 years, but it's a very long record of loyal service.
We'll take it. I mean, and people forget he joined Wisconsin all the way back in 2001. So this is already his 25th season.
He's definitely on his way to the 40, right?
Yes.
Oh, good for him. And obviously a lot to track this time of year for all the teams, and always good to know some of the stories that are happening behind them.
And one of the last great things about him is that the one issue on the other side of this, when you get, you know, some will say stuck with one coach for a long time, you can kind of just tend to zone out and get into the same patterns. But as we've seen this season, Greg Gard isn't afraid to switch things up, and that's been part of their success this season. He went out and he hired Kirk Penny, former Badger, brought him back in, and, you know, he really electrified their offense, and they're doing a whole new look shooting style that includes taking a lot more shots, a lot more threes, and it's really paying off. So good for him for not being complacent.
Really? Yeah, very much so. And then let's turn to one more on the sports side of things. And that deals with, you know, it's high school tournament time and people tend to watch, you know, basketball. For some people, it's hockey. But then there's also wrestling that's going on and has expanded in ways like never before. And I know we could have talked about girls wrestling with, you know, National Girls and Women in Sports Day. But look, any time of year, it's right to talk about the way that girls are continuing to make great strides in sports that previously had been closed to them.
It's nice not to confine it to just one day too, because, you know, girls do play sports 364 other days a year. And this wouldn't have been possible without all that practice that they put in. So wrestling has been a sport officially at Wisconsin high school since 2022. But this was the very first year that they awarded a team title, because it took three seasons to build up enough teams to actually compete for this. But what's really awesome about this is 2 weekends ago, they held the state championships at the Kohl Center. It was completely sold out for both boys and girls matches. And Wisconsin made history as the first state to ever have an actual girl on their wrestling trophy. Other states have girls wrestling, but it's always a boy figurine on the trophy. They actually had a girl model for it. She has two braids going down her back, and there's actually a girl symbolically on that trophy, which I just think is a great, it's another thing that Wisconsin is, you know, paving the way for. We're the first in a lot of, you know, women's rights issues, whether it was voting, electing the first, you know, openly gay female senator. It's nice to see us innovating in all these areas.
Without a doubt. And so, you know, our hats off to them for the trophies, and trophies that are correct, you know, shall we say. I can't say what it is like. To be feeling like you're excluded, or, you know, to get a trophy. I mean, I've won trophies in my time, not bowling or wrestling trophies, but, you know, for speech and debate and things like that. And, you know, there was always some guy on there. And so it's nice to know that we can be a little bit more inclusive in how we award things.
That's funny you say that, because I was just like you. We probably would have been on the debate team together in high school.
Yes.
And my debate team was really good. So I actually do have a lot of debate trophies, and every single one of them is a man in a suit standing in a podium.
Yes.
I have not one woman.
You know, as I was looking at other posts that we've put up not too long ago, there was another wrestling one here that I thought was worth noting. Three generations of Wilers who've competed at the state wrestling finals for Auburndale High School. There was Grandpa Rich, who lost by 1 point back in 1971. Then there was Nate, who took home a title. And this weekend, Colton followed in his dad's footsteps, winning the 150-pound division and getting the school's eighth state championship. I just love these stories every year about these kinds of families.
So no pressure to that future son.
No, right? No, not at all, right?
Well, the good part here is that if they stay in Wisconsin, even if they have a girl, she could carry on the family tradition.
That's right. Exactly. So we both mentioned speech and debate. Any other trophies that you have in a box in the basement somewhere by now?
Not any meaningful ones. I did cross country. And oh, yeah, so that's right. It was the era of a lot of participation ribbons. We didn't even get so much so as trophies, or, I mean, they weren't really participation. They'd give ribbons like all the way up to 25th place though. And I feel like I don't need, you know, my 25th place ribbons. So no. I got rid of a lot of them. But just if anyone does have extra, especially like medals or little trophies, I did have a few meaningful ones that I wanted to save, but I'm running out of space. And I'm also way too old to be using my parents' house as a storage facility I had been. So I turned them into Christmas ornaments. I like ripped the top off of some trophies. I turned some medals into Christmas ornaments. And it's cool. It's like just personalized memorabilia.
That's true. Wow. Okay. Our new Christmas decorating hack to keep in mind.
You have 10 months to get this sorted out.
Yes. I'll get right to work on that. Christina Laurie does a lot of stories for us on social media and for our newsletter. You can get the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Always great to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, Christina. Have a great day.
You too.
I have today's history lesson coming up right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
In a lot of Halls of Fame, personal Halls of Fame, lists of favorite albums. This one by Neil Young, Harvest, makes that list. It was the number one album this week in 1972 with Heart of Gold. And we'll hear Old Man a little bit later on as part of today's history lesson for this March 11th. There's already one Old Man here, so to balance things off, we bring in young Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. Mr. Hagen, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Many of my colleagues call me old, so I appreciate being the young buck.
Really? Because Greg just called you TV, which I think he was trying to denigrate you, you know. But as a former TV anchor myself, I salute you for being nicknamed TV.
Well, I'm motivated out of fight, so Greg, thank you for it.
Okay. What now? I'm sorry. What was any of that?
I was going to say, you can bring Neil down now. don't drown out Mr.
I wasn't
Hagen.
Whatever. Now I just feel like it's two against one, and I could turn this all off.
You know what? Here, let me offer you some advice from birthday boy Bobby McFerrin.
Ugh.
Play Bobby. There we go. Don't worry, Greg. Be happy. Bobby McFerrin is 75 years old today. Does this song still make people happy, or has it crossed the line into annoyance?
I think this song has a deep reservoir of nostalgia now.
Okay. You know what I think unseated it was? Pharrell. Pharrell Williams' song, Happy. That's still kind of your feel-good, happy song there.
Yeah.
I'd want to sing it note for note, don't worry.
All right, that's enough happiness. Paul McCartney was knighted by Queen Elizabeth on this day in 1997. Happy birthday to Mark Stein, 78 years old today, the New Jersey native. You know him as, well, you don't, only us really old folks know him as, the lead singer of Vanilla Fudge with this interesting take on a Supremes classic. First time I ever heard this version, I thought it was a spoof version. I thought it was like maybe on a comedy record or something. Like, nope, this is a real remake of it that some folks really like.
And I will give you my hot take, Patrick Jerome Kreitlow.
Yes.
This is the best version.
That is a hot take.
Yep.
That is a take. Dan, if you tell me that Kylie Minogue is your favorite, I might just end the segment right here.
So. I feel like it's getting annoying when I say I've never heard of a song before, so I'm just going to pick one.
I do. I think we've already asked you about Lawrence Welk, too, so we're just going to skip over the fact that he was born this day in 1903 in Strasburg, North Dakota. George, I don't know the pronunciation on this, Kuiemans, lead guitarist and vocalist for Kuiemans for Golden Earring, is 77 years old today.
Another hot take, Pat.
Yes.
If you play anything less than the full album cut of the song, I don't respect your opinions on most things.
100%. 100%. I'm totally with you on that one. Yes. And I didn't get the name because he was born this day in 1948 in the Netherlands. And as most people know, Dutch is a language nobody can pronounce, except maybe the Dutch.
My name is George Kuiemans. Yeah. All right, cool, man. That's awesome. Great.
Yep. Cheryl Lynn, one of our disco era singers, is 68 years old today.
Oh, I know this song.
Now, do you, or do you know that it's been? I feel like it's been sampled a thousand times. You know?
Isn't this A Taste of Honey?
No.
Oh, Dan. Anyway,
you're like Captain America in the Avengers. You're like, I got that one. I understood that reference.
Lisa Loeb is 57 years old today. What's the other one? Lisa Loeb. Everybody plays Stay.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's her big, huge hit.
That's her big hit. Not a fan. I really like this song. I do. And while she plays in the background, we'll tell you that on this day in 1989, Debbie Gibson, then 18 years old, went to number one with her album Electric Youth. Today is Organize Your Home Office Day. It's World Plumbing Day as well. And Dan, over at Newswatch 12 these days, stories that you're working on include the Vilas County snowmobile trails shutting her down. I'm sure they didn't get in nearly the year they would have liked.
Nope, they did get in a decent weekend, so that is good. All the trails will be closed today going forward. Then we just made a trip up to Ironwood. They got, I think, around $300,000 in tax revenue from having five dispensaries in their city. So they're using that towards public infrastructure, which is interesting to see. Well,
that is extremely interesting because, again, Wisconsin is pretty much an island in terms of marijuana legalization. And so you can see, you know, within a stone's throw of where you are, the way that the sales tax from those sales has provided some kind of a benefit, you know, a revenue shot in the arm, as it were. And I like the feel-good story here about the Rhinelander food pantry, that you've got anonymous donors who are matching spring donations. I mean, nobody wants to, you wish food pantries didn't have to be a thing, but they are. So at least we have some generous folks in your community.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people step up time and time and again in the Northwoods. So, and those food pantries getting more needed, unfortunately.
Yes, they are. And so for that and so much more coverage from the Northwoods, you got to tune in to Dan over at WJFW Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander and hear him throughout the week on various civic media shows as well. We always love when he pops in. Dan, thanks for being part of today's history lesson.
Thank you. You can just call me TV from now on, I think.
I like that.
Because he's so pretty, everybody.
Hey, yes.
Hey!
Yes,
we are. It's a compliment.
I know. It'll work. Coming up, we will have Hans Breitenmoser talking a bit about farmers lobbying lawmakers in the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't belong.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.